Wednesday afternoon, time for our bi-monthly conversation with MIBiz senior writer Mark Sanchez. How are you?
I'm well, yourself?
I'm good. We're going to start off today with something that is a very national story, but has so many local implications, and that is the Trump administration's immigration policies. And John Wiegand has written an article on this. Tell us about, I guess it's kind of a crossroads here of where the economy might be heading in all of this.
Well, we'll find out, you know, and this is a question of, in the way we write it, again, we're a business publication. We don't write to politics. So we look at things in a business sense. And immigration equals talent, the availability and accessibility of talent to employers of all sorts. So we took a look at this issue and talking to some folks out there who are running businesses, running organizations, and it's not an issue of immigration is something that's come up under the new president. This has been kind of a raging issue for a long time, and it's perhaps hit a new level under President Trump. But the issue we write about is more of, as this issue is debated, as you hear the rhetoric and as things fly back and forth, no matter where you stand, what does that do to bring talent into this country? Remember, America's never been a nation that has homegrown its scientific talent. It's always been a place where immigrants came for scientific talent. Remember, it was immigrants that took us to the moon under the space program. So there's an issue of, as this debate goes on in America and gets heated and the political rhetoric flies, will America be the location, be the place, if I'm a person of some scientific talent and background in another nation, I'm looking to perhaps take my talent to America. Is this still the best place to go? That's the question we kind of ask in this story and talking to a few folks. And they're a little worried about it. You know, we talked to Doug Rothwell at Business Leaders for Michigan, who points out that, you know, immigration was one of the primary reasons why Michigan's been able to stabilize its population in the last few years. You know, we all remember what it was like in the state 8-9 years ago. Nobody wants to go through that again. The population base is beginning to stabilize in Michigan. That's a good thing. Immigration is one of the reasons. You know, Birgit Close points out at the right place, you know, we've got a pretty sizable farm economy, agricultural economy that's dependent on seasonal workers. Is this still a welcoming area for seasonal workers to come, the migrant workers to come work the fields each year? If not, and that's been a big issue for the growers and producers to get that talent each season and to get the talent it needs to work the fields and harvest their product. If this debate goes on in a way that those seasonal workers feel they're no longer welcome, well, what does that mean for that part of the economy? So there's a broader issue here other than just who to let in, how many to let in. It's kind of an issue that goes out throughout the economy and really kind of perhaps goes down to maybe a culture and an attitude and tone that's set. Who gets in, who's allowed in, who should come in, who should we let in? All fair questions. But there's that backdrop of the tone that's being set down and whether some of those talented folks who want to immigrate to America, whether they still want to come here.
Well, there are those who would argue that it's really the laws are just now being enforced.
Sure. Sure. And laws are, you know, some folks enforce them strictly, some folks enforce them loosely. Immigration is one of those. Obviously, the new president is looking at a kind of a different perspective on this. But again, the point of what we point out in the story is there's a broader context in which to put this issue in.
And in Michigan, there is a governor who is very pro-immigration.
Yeah, you know, Rick Snyder kind of created this Michigan Office for New Americans here a year ago. And, he's had a few things to say about this, but this one small number to point out that some of the data from this organization that the governor created last year, 25% of Michigan's technology industry is made up of immigrants. Folks, again, that scientific talent that came to America. And we'll go back to what we said when we started this segment of if folks no longer feel that this is the place to take their talents, what does that mean for the economy? What does that mean for economic growth? And what does that mean for so many of those economic sectors that depend on bringing in that talent?
We'll switch gears here. This is a follow-up to a story that's been, well, it's been going on for a little while here, and a tribunal has now ruled, and this has to do with Grand Rapids Township and Spectrum Health's facility out on the Beltline. Take us back, fill us in of what was taking place and now what the tribunal has decided.
Yeah, this goes to the heart of the question of what is a charity? When is a charity a charity? When is a charity not a charity? The question has been asked here in Spectrum Health a couple of years ago, built this new integrated care center up on East Beltline Avenue in Grand Rapids Township. Spectrum Health is a not-for-profit entity, is a not-for-profit corporation, as most healthcare providers in Michigan are. There are some for-profit hospital operators, but primarily Michigan's a not-for-profit state. Remember, not-for-profit means merely tax-exempt because they have a charitable mission. They have tax-exempt status. When Spectrum Health developed this facility, and it's been doing this in other markets around West Michigan, it consolidated a lot of doctor's offices. That's hence the term integrated care. Grand Rapids Township decided to start taxing this facility. It's a $48 million facility. We're talking roughly $750,000 in taxes that were paid over a two-year period. Grand Rapids Township argues that these docs were in facilities that were previously taxed. Spectrum Health argues that no, those were leased facilities. Their landlords paid taxes, not the medical practices. Grand Rapids Township also argued in its tax tribunal case that merely putting everybody in one roof does not make it charitable, that this facility was intended to benefit the physician practices, the Spectrum Health Medical Group, not necessarily act as a charitable organization. Of course, back a year ago or a year and a half ago when Grand Rapids Township decided to treat this as taxable, Spectrum Health filed a petition with the Michigan Tax Tribunal and has won this case here a few weeks back. The Tax Tribunal issued a fairly strongly worded ruling on a summary disposition request by Spectrum, siding with Spectrum and ordering the township to make this a tax-exempt property and to repay those taxes. And there's some interesting kind of interesting point that the judge made. It kind of rejected the Grand Rapids Township's argument in the case and also pointed out that, you know, healthcare is a changing economic sector. And the judge made not only that point, but simply because you're a large organization doesn't mean you're non-charitable. Yes, Spectrum Health over 20 years since it was created by the merger in 1997 has become a very large organization. But that doesn't mean that charitable mission of providing medical care to people and treating all who come to the doors no longer exists. And the judge made that very clear in his ruling, saying, you know, there is a question of survival, and simply being big does not make you incompatible with having a charitable mission. He also recognized the fact that healthcare is changing and there is a growing trend towards integrating care into single campuses among healthcare providers. He recognized that, and that, and again, does not necessarily make you a non-charity or dismiss you from that charitable mission. So it's an interesting ruling. The judge clearly sided with Spectrum and granted the motion to dismiss the case. And now Grand Rapids Township, they tell us last week that it will take the case to the appeals court and argue it up the chain next.
From not-for-profit to for-profit, and the impacts of supply and demand and the seasonality of sporting goods, MC Sports is planning to liquidate its stores, and it is looking for a buyer out there, correct?
Yeah, this is one of the perhaps iconic organizations that's been around West Michigan for a long time. This is the life of retailers these days. You have a tough year, a tough holiday shopping season, and it can bring you down. MC Sports is based here in Grand Rapids, has 68 stores, I think, in seven Midwestern states, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy last week. It's got some high debt, had some about $175 million in sales last year, lost about $5.5 million. The debt has creeped up, and it's throw everything into the combination, and it's ended up in bankruptcy court. The company is trying to sell, but right now it's moving down the pathway to liquidation and disposing of its assets.
Boy, we're seeing a number of these sporting goods retailers out there having a tough go of it.
Yeah, I remember last year it was a Sports Authority. I believe that was one of the larger ones on the East Coast. One of the apparel companies, Under Armour's, been having a tough time. It is apparently quite a tough business to be in. You hit a rough patch, and it can really throw a wrench into the operations and send you into a tailspin that's tough to pull out of. And we've seen this before in retail. I remember Kmart many years ago was based here in Michigan, had a terrible holiday Christmas shopping season. Although many folks would argue Kmart had been on the decline for many years, but it had that terrible holiday shopping season, and boom, by February, it was in bankruptcy court. We've seen this with other retailers, and it's a tough business. It's very unforgiving, and even sometimes if you do make the right decisions, if things go a little awry, you can end up in big trouble.
Do you see a prospective buyer out there?
Nick Mattis, who wrote the story for My Biz this week, folks he talked to said, Maybe you might see some folks buy some of the stores and see something continue on a very limited, much smaller basis. But that seems kind of a long shot, a remote possibility. Once a company goes into liquidation and starts, you never know exactly where it's going to end, other than all those assets being disposed of and the signs getting shut off.
MIBiz senior writer Mark Sanchez, thank you so much.
Thank you, and we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks.